flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How dangerous are the Washington Commanders, really? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, NFC Championship game. Perloff is beyond panicked for his Philadelphia Eagles, and I get why. Jalen Hurts' knee, not 100%. He might not be able to run, and that's a huge weapon that Hurts has. But let's pause on the Eagles for a moment, and let's talk about the Commanders, because this has become one of the great stories of the year. Yeah. You had a terrible owner that got out. New ownership in, new head coach, quarterback that has blown away everyone's expectation. Yeah. He is on a heater, but how dangerous are they really in this game?
Oh my God, they're incredibly dangerous. And I don't know how anybody would view them any differently. They have a mobile quarterback. They have a really good coaching staff with Dan Quinn as head coach, been in big games. Cliff Kingsbury's on a heater. They go for it on fourth down all the time, and they make it all the time. At fourth and three, you cannot stop Jaden Daniels. De'Ami Brown's emerged as a real second threat. Terry McLaurin is definitely, and I'm not even, this is not hyperbole, he's the best receiver in the NFL in this playoff right now. He's better than anybody on all the other teams, even better than A.J. Brown. He has not dropped a ball in forever, and they have a running game. Defense is an issue. I will give you that. Their run defense is weak. But if Jalen Hurts is not mobile, then the Eagles are going to play without about a half of their offense, and then they can focus on the run and slow down Saquon Barkley just a little.
Okay, I'm not trying to sound anti-commander here, and I love the story, and we all, who doesn't love Jaden Daniels, but can I just bring a little perspective to this whole thing?
Please.
First of all, just a little bit, because I feel like it's getting lost a little, and we're getting ahead of ourselves. Number one, there's a reason why no rookie quarterback has ever been in the Super Bowl. It's really hard. And the fact is that Jaden Daniels is awesome, and he's a little bit older than everybody, and he's got this skill set. But there's been good rookies. Ben Roethlisberger was a great rookie. There's been lots of good. C.J. Stroud last year was a great rookie. There's been tons of good rookies who haven't been able to do this, and it's not like you're walking into the red carpet here of the Philadelphia Link. And I know that he's played there before. They lost that game. And Philadelphia enjoys one of the great home field advantages that I think you have in the NFL. Not only that, if they can just learn to spell the name correctly. Not only that, this playoff run and what the Commanders have been able to do, they started winning against Tennessee. They were on a 3-game losing streak right in the middle of the season. Then they beat the Tennessee Titans. They blow the doors off of them. And then it started a streak of really close wins. This has been the whole thing about the Commanders, maybe going back to that Bears Hail Mary game, but they really started a streak of close wins. They win by 1 point at New Orleans. They win by 3 points to your Eagles in D.C., but Jalen Hurts got knocked out of that game. They beat the Atlanta Falcons in Michael Penix's first start. They beat the Dallas Cowboys, a banged-up Dallas Cowboys team, 23-19. And then look at what happened when the playoffs started. Tampa Bay, that's great, but Tampa Bay also kind of messed that game up, right?
Ooh,
outdoors, warm weather. Then you go to Detroit. And guys, I think that history is probably going to remember this a lot more as Detroit blew this game. As we get further away from it, Jared Goff's interceptions, the fact that Ben Johnson basically had a foot out the door, so did Aaron Glenn. I think you are going to remember this as a bad game plan. They should have kept going to Gibbs. They panicked, and Jared Goff blew it. So I'm not trying to take away from Jaden Daniels. He's been awesome at the end of these games. But how long do you expect this to last? Or has this just been some pixie dust that may run out?
I'm first of all, there was an injury midseason that affected a lot of that. Right?
Yeah, he got hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was a house on fire. Then he totally cooled down. Now he seems healthy again. I think that all that is what you said is true. But the thing is, there you can't get Jaden Daniels off the field like right now. It's his legs. That's what's different about all this is he is fully developed in a way no other rookie quarterback has ever been. Like, he's a great passer, can see the field really well, and he's got this secret weapon where he escapes out to the right. And that's what the big problem was for the Lions. That's what the big problem is going to be for the Eagles. All that, you know, that can neutralize anything. I hate to bring this to college football. Why do you think Alabama lost to Vanderbilt? Running quarterbacks even the field dramatically. Everything changes if you can't over-pursue, so you can't sack him. He hasn't been sacked in forever.
Yeah.
And you can't cover anybody in man, because that means the cornerback's backs are going to be turned to the quarterback. It just limits your defense in so many ways. And if Jaden Daniels is healthy and sells out on the run because it's the playoffs, he's not going to be nervous to run at all. I think that they're very, very hard to stop.
Okay, here's the thing about what happened in the Detroit game. He was running a lot, and they couldn't stop him. They also had 13 starters who were injured in that game.
But why? You think anyone else could stop him?
The Eagles don't have 13 starters that are hurt.
Jaden ran over he had no problem running past those starters in the last game. None at all.
Yeah, but
he ran at will.
You can't do the last game because the calculus is different.
But the defense was still the same defense. There's nothing different about the defense. Players.
No, the reason why is what do they call it? Complimentary football. Jalen Hurts got knocked out of that game in the first quarter or early second quarter. Changes the entire game plan. Kenny Pickett couldn't keep drives alive.
Kenny Pickett got a lot of first downs. They couldn't cover Terry McLaurin if they get McLaurin matched up one on one and even one on two, it's death.
Let's hear from Joe Witt. Now you might be asking me, Matt, who's Joe Witt? He's the defensive coordinator for the Commanders.
And the Commanders.
Been in the league for a long time, but not exactly a household name. So Joe Witt now will be a household name because he's given the Eagles plenty of bulletin board material. Here is the Commanders defensive coordinator talking about how they plan to attack Jalen Hurts.
If he's going to run the ball and if the coordinator makes a decision for him to run the ball, we're going to treat him like a running back. And we're going to hit him that way. You know, so that's their decision if they want to get him hit the way that he gets hit. If they don't, they'll keep him in the pocket. So, but that's what we're going to do.
Okay, so why is he saying something like that before the game, right?
I don't understand that at all.
To get the fan base riled up a little bit, but...
Well, why would you want to rile up the fan base?
No, I'm just saying, like, his own. I don't know, but I think what you're actually doing here is you're just trying to plant that seed of doubt in Jalen Hurts' head. I don't know if it's going to work. I wouldn't have done anything like this, but I'm not a big trash talker. I think that you basically are saying, listen, Jalen Hurts, you have a knee issue. We've given you two concussions this season. One, he actually said he passed the concussion protocol, came back into the game, should have never probably done that. And the second one did knock him out of the game. So think twice with your knee and with your head about trying to run in this game if you can at all.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think he can't even tush push. Like, Jalen Hurts isn't running anywhere anyway. It has nothing to do with Joe Witt Jr. I'd just be shocked. I would easily pick the Eagles. If Jalen Hurts was healthy, you saw him run for 40 yards against the Rams.
Yeah.
Like, he can run. And when he needs to, he's unbelievable. But I there's no way he's running one way or the other. I don't know why I even bothered saying this, because it just opens him up for people to take shots at Jaden Daniels, and you're sort of playing the officials already. Now the officials are going to be like, oh, Washington's going to be taking shots at the quarterback. Maybe we should watch for this.
Well, I mean, the quarterbacks generally get the benefit of the doubt anyway from the referees.
Wait till this Bills-Chiefs game. Like, that's in the ether where the officials, everyone's criticizing the officials for being too sensitive towards quarterbacks. Then this defensive coordinator is going out there like it's 1986 and saying, I'm going to kill the other quarterback. Now the officials are like, oh, great, now we have to call this stupid call.
It is a choice. I was a little surprised that he did this. But again, I think he was trying to just send a message to Jalen Hurts.
I did. I was looking up this guy. He interviewed with the Jets for their head coach. I like this guy. It reminds me of my favorite coach of all time was Buddy Ryan, who famously put a bounty on the opposing kicker. guy knew how to play football. Like, I come from the era where the defensive coordinator always says the one thing, cut the head off the dragon. Just kill the quarterback. Now football is so different, but you can't do it. We're not allowed to hit Jaden Daniels on Sunday. Everyone knows it. Well, and not only that, he's hard to hit.
Well, that might be part of it. But here's the thing. You can hit him. You just have to play the consequences of it, which is a big enough hit on him early in the game, to me, is worth a 15-yard penalty if you're trying to send a message.
Yeah,
I'm not saying don't do it when Jaden Daniels has the ball in his hands in a tie game with a minute 30 left. Don't do that. Don't do a stupid hit then.
The Lions came into that game against Commanders as the hottest pressure team in the league. They were getting to every quarterback and getting to them on almost every play. They were on fire, and Jaden Daniels neutralized him immediately because he escaped. So I think the Eagles, their best player, Jalen Carter, is coming right up the middle. Jaden Daniels is just going to run right around him.
855-212-4227. Are you giving the Commanders a real chance here? How dangerous are they? What's the spread? Is it 6.5 now or 6? Someone look that up while I hit Jay in Nashville, our buddy. What's up, Jay?
What's up? This is the most amazing thing. I just found out Ice Cube's first and last name is really not Ice and then Cube.
Don't tell Perloff. His world's already been blown up that, you know.
I know it. I know his name. Is his son was always
O'Shea Jackson.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. We just interviewed his son who has the original name.
Yeah, I'm really proud of his son too. But
awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
I'm also tripping off everybody in the chat tripping off of Maggie's mad shoulder game right now. I'm like, fellas, take a cold shower, rub yourself down with some castor oil or something, man. Chill. But
Jay.
That's a little P. Diddy is sounding now. Matter of fact, let's get off of Maggie's shoulder.
My gosh.
All right, But anyway, I was going to talk about Mahomes, you know, flopping like Vlade Divac out there. But, that's old news. Y'all talk about the Commanders right now. I really think the Commanders do have a big shot. I mean, in me and Perloff, we Philly fans, and I am worried, you know, because the Commanders can get in a shootout on any given Sunday with you. Like, there's no stopping that offense with Jalen Daniels. I think I said it's Jaden Daniels, not Jalen Daniels.
Yeah. He's the former Kansas quarterback, right? Jalen Daniels.
Jalen, well, I don't know. But, like, they really do have – they're like the ultimate wild card for me right now, the ultimate X factor. And nobody saw this coming. And if he did make it to the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be mad. Well, I would be mad because I wanted I wanted it to be Philly – in Baltimore in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, you can't get what you want. You know what I mean? Can't have your cake and eat it too. But go ahead, Perloff.
They're playing with house money, right, Jay? The Commanders. Like, there's no pressure at all.
No, I don't think they're playing with house money. No, I think they're the real deal. I don't think they're playing with house money.
No, I mean, there's no pressure on them. They're like, there's nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody expects them to win. No one's going to rip them if they lose. They just, I think they're going to be pretty loose out there.
Yeah, man. I think that's exactly how they're playing, too. Like, we ain't even supposed to be here, and we're balling out. And that's what I'm saying is, if I was betting, I wouldn't gamble on this game. I'd never gamble on my team.
Yeah.
Because you know how people just, you know, I'm going to bet for, you know, Miami of Ohio against Ohio State just because that's their alma mater. Like, you know.
I don't know. What's the spread? But, Jay, no, great call. Thank you. I don't know why I'm having this sort of thought that we come in on Monday and it's like, oh, what do we expect from rookie quarterback? Like, was this all too much too soon? And people are talking about Dan Quinn and how he's coaching all these big games. Don't remind Dan Quinn about that. The big games that he's coached in, one of the most famous Super Bowl chokes of all time, and the one that got him basically run out of town in Dallas was when they were a 7.5-point favorite and Green Bay came in and ran all over them. So Dan Quinn is a great coach. I'm just giving you the other side because I feel like we're crowning the Commanders here and not just treating it as like this is a out-of-nowhere story that nobody could have predicted.
Yeah, there's no way. Monday, we could easily come in the Eagles win. I would think we're talking about how Saquon just went nuts. There's no way we're coming in and it's on Jaden Daniels. I see, like, because he's got the secret weapon of his legs, there's just no way he's going to have a complete implosion.
Okay, well, the last time he played the Eagles, he did throw 5 touchdowns. He also threw 2 picks.
I mean, come on. He threw 5 touchdowns.
Okay, but Perloff, in the postseason, what does this all come down to? It feels like every single game comes down to what? Turnovers.
But he
they'll make you pay.
guy scored 36 points and 5 touchdowns. He torched them. I mean, torched them. And the other problem is, you like Terry McLaurin, right?
I love Terry McLaurin.
Do you know how to cover him?
No clue.
Neither do I. The guy has not dropped a pass in 4 years. He's impossible.
Jeff's in Tucson. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Maggie. How are you guys?
Doing great. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to say if Perloff has his depends on, and if he doesn't, make sure he gets some for Sunday, okay?
Do you own any depends, Perloff?
You mean like I'm going to a game at Wrigley and wear diapers because I don't want to go have to leave the bleachers?
I didn't say it like that, but I meant it like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Listen, Jeff, I'm a realist. Like, I'm setting myself up for heartbreak. I'm ready to go.
You're a 6-point favorite. That's a lot in the NFL.
Jeff, help me out. I'm trying to tell Maggie that out there in public, a lot of people think the Commanders are dangerous here, right?
Yeah.
That's just because they hate Philly.
No, it's not.
Hey, Perloff, now you know what it's like to be a Browns fan when they go to the playoffs. Like, you know, but here's the thing is that I think that the whole thing about putting that we're going to hit your quarterback out there on the run is set up for two things. It's like they want you to know that if you hurt ours, we're going to go after yours. That's the first thing that thing set up.
Oh, I like it.
Well, eye for an eye. Okay.
Yeah, and the second thing is that I think that's a message sent for across the league. If he makes it to the Super Bowl, you're going to give us that call just like you give it to Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's working it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they're working that call.
Jeff, great read on the whole situation. Drive safely out there, pal. Yeah, that's a good read, too. Absolutely. The Hammurabi's code I didn't see making its way in today's show, but I'm glad it did.
But the coordinators can't work the officials. The head coach has got to get in the media. And then, of course, we always joke about this. Like, Roger Goodell sitting in his office saying, well, the Commanders are worried, say they're going to go after the quarterback. Call Carl Cheffers, whoever. Actually, that's somebody else I think is doing this game. Call him, make sure that we give him this hit. It doesn't work that way, but still, it's all in the stew.
Let's get a quick timeout here. We'll come back with Nick Kostos from You Better You Bet. Help us make some money this weekend. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Can I tell you something funny?
Yeah, please.
I was just talking about with Manny in the break. So my mom is on vacation right now. So she's in Mexico. My brother lives there, and she's visiting. And I was telling Manny, she's texting me now in the morning, and it's all in Spanish. My mom doesn't really speak Spanish. She'll try when she's in a Spanish-speaking country is kind of like a courtesy, right? Like you're in the other person's country, try to speak their language if you can. And then it will last when she gets home for like 4 days. Like she'll just continue to be texting me in Spanish. Even she doesn't speak Spanish.
Well, I don't get it. But she
and then it will eventually wear off. But
is it Google Translate or she's actually writing Spanish to you?
No, like she knows some words, you know? Like you text me this morning.
Like give me a text.
Buen dia, mi amor. Like,
oh. Muy bien.
So she's not like saying, hey, can you make sure you leave the keys outside
No, she can't do anything serious because I don't speak Spanish.
So she's not really texting you in Spanish. She's sending an occasional Spanish.
No, the whole text is in Spanish. Buen dia, mi amor. Muy bonita. Back to sleep.
That's not Spanish.
Te quiero. It's the Spanglish. But I'm saying it's like clockwork. It will last for like about 4 days and then all of a sudden it'll be gone.
So she's going to be down in the southern tier just talking Spanish to a bunch of people in Binghamton?
Yeah, no one's going to have a clue what she's saying.
Your mom texts you every day? Wow.
Yeah, my mom texts me multiple times a day. I talk to my mom every day. You don't? You don't talk to Carol every day?
I haven't heard from my mom in a month.
She's nervous about the birds.
No, we don't talk every day. Like, we talk often, but no, every day, no.
Do you guys talk to your moms every day?
I live with my mom still, so.
Okay, so you can't avoid it.
Yeah, no.
Don't answer the question, Manny.
No, I stay in my room in isolation.
Is that weird? You're giving me a thumbs up. Does that mean Nick's here?
Yes.
Cool. Let's get to Nick Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet. Help us win a little money. Nick, do you talk to your mom every day?
No.
Okay. All right, so let's get to the bets.
Were you looking for a more detailed answer than that? No, and I feel like
fine.
My wife talks to her mom, my mother-in-law, all the time.
Nick, you didn't hear what I said.
Today.
I do.
You do talk? Yeah, I don't. And I feel like, I should, and I feel I get guilt tripped for like not talking. My wife
talk to
will
your
say
mom
to me
every day.
Trump's just trying to do your mom joke.
We're gonna trash talk here.
It's a great yes. You talk to my mom every day. My wife will say to me on like Thursday, "Have you talked to your mom this week?" And I'll realize that I haven't. And my whole thought is, I don't know. Like, she could call me. Why do I have to be the one to pick up the phone? I got a lot going on. What's she doing now?
I mean, Nick, it's not a competition.
Yeah. I'll mention something
that's what
to Cynthia.
That's what I've created.
I'll tell Cynthia to call you.
Okay. Can I talk to Mama Perloff? Maybe that's something I'd be
My mom would
in.
Love you, Nick. Like, you got to come over for dinner at the Perloff household. You will be a huge hit.
What's her specialty?
Oh, my mom, she just, our producer EJ came over. She just piles food onto the table. Everything, she's Norwegian, so she'll make a lot of Norwegian foods.
Oh, yeah, Norwegian food, the best. Yeah, I love Norwegian food.
Fish cakes, lefse.
Everyone knows that Norwegian food is worldwide regarded. Lefse.
Yeah, lefse, of course. I had that last night. It was outstanding.
Yeah, no, it's not your normal Italian, Greek, you know, Asian food. It's lefse. So,
lefse.
And you better eat the whole thing.
Have you ever had fish balls? You will.
I don't. But fish balls is like, it's more of like an Asian thing, no?
No, it's also Norwegian food.
I have to tell you something. So I've looked up lefse, L-E-F-S-E.
Lefse. I think there's a K in there sometimes, but go ahead.
A traditional soft Norwegian flatbread.
Yeah, yeah.
Made with rice potatoes.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Butter, milk, cream. I have to tell you something. I would be very interested in eating this. This looks like carbohydrate paradise.
Okay.
But Nick, you can't eat the lefse without eating the fish balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll sacrifice. I'll
and we'll
the fish
throw
balls
some,
so I can eat the carbs.
Some yulekaka for dessert.
Well, that's something that sounds terrible, but I think it's probably tasty.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We'll do this in the off season. We'll do this in the off season. Carol, we'll get all the moms together. We're going to have a big party. It's going to be amazing.
Great.
There we
Great.
Go. All right. Let's get to some bets today. Let's win some money. Nick Costos from You Better You Bet. Okay. Let's just go in order. Let's go NFC Championship game first here. Nick, side total. How do you see this game?
All right. So where we're at right now at BetMGM is Philadelphia a 6-point favorite. And it looks like this is going to go to 6.5. The total in the game is 47.5. And I think my issue with this game, and I like the AFC game better, but my issue with this game is it's being priced, like Philly being as big a favorite as it is, as if Jalen Hurts is 100% healthy. And I don't think like anyone knows the answer to that question. We all watched the end of the game against the Rams on Sunday when he was pretty immobile, took that safety where he couldn't move, and then had like the brain dead play call in the history of brain dead play calls on that 2nd and 7 instead of giving it to Saquon, like a quarterback run with Hurts, who literally can't move. That's obviously it's a huge part of his game. It's not the only part of his game, but it's something that matters quite a bit. So if I told you before the game that Jalen Hurts is, let's say, 70%, and this is the point spread of the game, I think most people would say, yeah, I'll take the points with Washington. So it's Washington or nothing for me. I don't know if I say it with the greatest degree of confidence because Philly is better. And to be fair, when the Commanders beat the Eagles in Week 16, I came on You Better You Bet on Monday and said, if Jalen Hurts doesn't get concussed, there's no way the Commanders win this game.
Thank
Kenny Pickett
you.
played almost the entire game. But watching how this has kind of evolved as time has gone on and the run that the Commanders have been on, and I said with you guys last week, and I've been saying for a while, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the conference. He just is. And they do have this kind of vibe of this team that gets hot at the right time. Great story, obviously, with the coach as well. One of the great failures in postseason Super Bowl history. Used to be so conservative, would have like MAGA tattooed on his face. Now he's going for it on every fourth down. He's been awesome, right? Dan Quinn's been great. And I'll say going into this game, and you could have said this last week, but there was snow on the ground, which absolutely cost the Rams. And Perloff, I hope you can be honest enough as an Eagles fan to admit that. Just like tell the truth. Rams win without snow.
Rams were a better team. There's no doubt about it.
So the Rams win without snow. And
I agree.
I'm not being a hater, just being objective.
The Rams were a bet. I thought the Rams were going to win the Super Bowl about halfway through the season. I thought they were coming out of the NFC. They were Stafford. By the way, I disagree. Stafford's just as good as Jaden Daniels. You don't think you
well,
think.
Well,
different.
Like over the balance of their career, Stafford's going to the Hall of Fame.
Right now,
take Jaden Daniels. Daniels.
Let me ask you about that fourth down.
Easily.
Thing. You give me a hard time, and Maggie as well, that I don't respect Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down all the time. The Commanders, something feels different. It feels like their secret weapon. It feels like a major problem for the Eagles that they're not going to get Saquon Barkley on the field because
so you just don't like Dan Campbell because it's the same exact thing, but you like it when Dan Quinn does it, but not when Dan Campbell does it. You're biased against
him. No, Jaden Daniels can run, and he gets all those fourth downs. I read they're number one in the league in fourth down conversion because of Jaden Daniels. Isn't that going to be a big factor on Sunday? That's why I agree. The 6 points seems crazy to me. Like, Jaden Daniels is going to run his way into a close game.
Well, I think you could go the other way on that. So I want to say they're 88% this season on fourth down. That is unsustainable. Like, it's impossible for that to continue, like, mathematically for much longer. So, I mean, you could easily construct a case where they go, like, a 1-for-5 on fourth downs. And if that happens, the Eagles win by 17. But I'll go to what I was going to say about the Rams game, which is Rams-Eagles, Rams better coaching quarterback, snow on the ground, kind of like the equalizing factor, whatever, the great equalizer. And in this game, Commanders, better coach, better quarterback. I'll take the points with the Commanders, and I have a bet on the Commanders to win the game as well. And I actually, as crazy as this sounds, despite what I just said, I hope the Eagles win. I don't know if they're going to. I hope they win because it will create a Super Bowl market that is much easier to bet than if the Commanders win. And we could talk about that if you guys would like as well.
Yeah, interesting. Before we get to that, though, the total, 47.5. It looks like weather not really going to be a factor. It looks like it's going to be about 40 degrees is the high, wind 9 miles an hour. We talked about this last week, really 15 miles an hour or above, I think, is where you said it really starts to impact. I think that's what we said, right?
Say 25, let's say, with winds. Yeah.
Okay, and like partly sunny, so no crazy weather coming in.
I guess like lean for me towards the under. I don't have a strong opinion on the total. I do have a strong opinion on the total in the Chiefs-Bills game and the side of that game.
Okay, wait, before we get to Chiefs-Bills, any props in this game that you like?
Yeah, so a couple things. We don't know we think Dallas Goedert's going to play. But he didn't practice yesterday. But like the thought is that he's gonna be out there on the field. So Goddard's receiving yards prop actually came down a yard from yesterday because he doesn't practice yesterday. It's now 39.5. And since Goddard returned from coming off IR in week 18 against the Giants, 6 catches, 4 catches, 4 catches, 65 yards, over 50 yards in the high 40s, and caught that touchdown when he took Ballantyne on the Packers' soul on that touchdown on the near sideline for Philadelphia. And if Jalen Hurts is not going to be fully healthy, I think his binky over the middle of the field is going to be Dallas Goedert. So Goedert over receiving yards, but obviously need him to play in the game. And for the Commanders, you know, Terry McLaurin's number keeps dropping, which makes sense given, you know, Quinyon Mitchell and Darius Slay, and it looks like Mitchell's going to play. Deami Brown's number keeps dropping for Washington, kind of like their outside vertical receiver. Again, makes sense thinking about the really great corners, boundary corners for the Eagles. So if that's true, I would take a look at two players for Washington. Number one would be their slot receiver, Olamide Zaccheaus. He's at 21.5 receiving yards. And then I think the guy that everyone likes, so we have like a bunch of sharp bettors on the show, they all say the same thing. Austin Eckler over receiving yards, where Eckler is kind of really eaten into Brian Robinson's workload. And we think the Commanders are going to be dumping the ball off a little bit here. Eckler, 21.5 receiving yards is the number at BetMGM to go over.
Love it. All right, let's move over. You ready to Bills Chiefs, Maggie? Now
I already know what Nick is doing. You've been setting this up since week one.
She's very sensitive right now, Nick. So break it to her lightly how this game's going to go.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, like, but Chiefs are going to win.
You've been telling me this, that the Chiefs are going to win. You called it. You said it's going to be Sean McDermott is going to make a stupid decision. Like, you've already game planned this out, you know, 10 times, I think, in your head.
To be fair, I did love the Ravens last week.
Yeah.
That wasn't, just want to like call a spade here. Like, you ever play the video game Sonic the Hedgehog back in the day?
Oh,
you
yeah.
get all those rings, and then at the end of the stage, you run into a spike and all the gold rings go everywhere. That was me at the end of the great weekend until Ritz. So I loved the Ravens. And I was way wrong on that game, obviously, right? Lamar was Lamar. And I'll give Josh Allen a lot of credit. Like, the stats don't show it, 127 passing yards. He did not make the critical error. And that, it really just goes to show his evolution as a quarterback. And I think if you like, because look, like, I love Kansas City in the game. The point spread's like 1.5. The betting market says it's a coin flip game. So it's not like Kansas City's going to kill them. I don't think that's going to happen. The Bills could definitely win. And I think if you like Buffalo in the game, you hang your head on, Josh is not going to make the mistake. Like Mahomes doesn't make the mistake, and now Josh is not making the mistake either, which makes it a really interesting game. Mm-hmm. And just because I know, like, we're all big sports fans, right? And you're asking me a betting question, but I'm a sports fan at heart before I'm a sports bettor. And just the historical ramifications of this game and everything that it means when you have like the ultimate star-crossed franchise in sports, a team denied like the top spot on the mountain, top four consecutive years in the early 90s, one of the best and most loyal and rabid fan bases in sports. They're crazy. I got Instagram messages from Bills Mafia. All my Instagram is a picture of my wife and daughter telling me to kill myself because I picked the Ravens. You guys are nuts.
That is done out of love. That is a compliment.
I respect it.
This is how we show affection in amongst our bunch.
I absolutely agree with that, but they're totally nuts. And if they're able to get over the hump here, the Bills will be favored in the Super Bowl against either the Eagles or the Commanders. And on the flip side, you've got the Chiefs trying to do the first three-peat in the history of the league, right? The 60s Packers, 70s Steelers, 80s Niners, 90s Cowboys. All the great Patriots teams never won three Super Bowls in a row. So we are two-plus weeks away from potentially saying this is the greatest team in the history of the league. There is so much on the line historically in this game. And while I don't think Josh will be the one to blow it for Buffalo, I think it will be McDermott at some point. And Maggie, Buffalo won the game last week. The third and goal from the two with 4 minutes to play. Shotgun draw to Josh Allen is one of the dumbest play calls in the history of play calls. Tony Romo on CBS is correctly begging, pleading, imploring. Sneak the ball twice with your giraffe quarterback. Like you're going to get a yard and a half. Instead, they lose a half yard and have to kick a field goal with Tyler Bass. Yada, yada, yada. Of course, the Ravens score a touchdown and come within a two-point conversion of tying the game.
Yeah, the only thing is, and you're right, and I was wondering, like, did Josh, is this left hand broken, or is there some reason? But they've done QB sneaks with him before. It was a boneheaded move. I totally get it. However, not to play like revisionist history because we don't have to because the Bills won. The Ravens did leave a minute and a half and two timeouts.
Fair.
The Bills have marched down the field, and Tyler Bass kicked a 51-yarder. He could have won the game in regulation. He may have missed, but they also could have scored a touchdown. A minute and a half for the Bills to get down the field is like not. That's not.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just Sean McDermott. Like, he has 35 seconds left on the run of 30, and he starts slowing down.
He will blow it. I get it.
Wait, Nick, by the way, in that game, I thought the weather was just almost as big a factor as Eagles-Rams. Like, Mark Andrews couldn't get his footing under him both plays, the fumble and the drop. Dude, you tell me that icy field, that icy ball didn't affect everything? You're kidding me.
Perloff and I argued about this for a week.
You don't think on a dry field that game played out differently? You're out of your mind.
Let's keep the betting as the main thing here while we have access to Nick's brain. Nick Costos joining us from You Better You Bet. He joins us every Friday. So is Josh Allen going to have to overcome the Chiefs, the officials, and his own head coach probably to win this game? It's a tall task. You like the Chiefs in the game. What about the over-under? What about the props? And then explain what you meant about if the Commanders win, if the Eagles win, it's an easier Super Bowl to bet.
Yeah, I'll just say everyone out there that hates the Chiefs, just like the virus that's sweeping the nation right now, CDS, Chiefs derangement syndrome. Don't let it impact how you choose to bet things potentially this weekend in this game. Total in the game is 48, so it's been bet up a little bit from yesterday to today. I agree with that move. It feels a little low with these two quarterbacks. The Chiefs defense is very good, obviously, with the great coordinator and Steve Spagnuolo, who should be a Hall of Famer. This is not the best Chiefs defense of this run that they've been on. Certainly think that Josh Allen and the Bills offense can score some points. And on the flip side, I think this Bills defense is a little overrated. We saw the Ravens should have put up more points than they did last week. I certainly think the Chiefs can score also. I think this is, let's call it 27-24 Chiefs. So I like the over in the game. So over for me with the Chiefs and the Bills. And I bet Kansas City money line. Just, you know, and it doesn't have to turn out this way. Peyton beat Brady eventually, but I'll take the quarterback that always wins over the quarterback and the team that always loses.
You guys are totally.
I'm not trying
idiots.
To be a jerk when I say that.
What about props and then explain the Super Bowl aspect of it?
Okay, so I'll give you two props on the Kansas City side that I'm looking at. One is a little less obvious. One would be, and this number's shot up, and it should. Xavier Worthy was at like 38.5 3 days ago. Now he's at 49.5. That number is way more in line with where it should be. And Maggie, you remember the regular season game that these two teams played when the Chiefs jumped out to an early lead. Xavier Worthy was featured on almost every play early in the game. And then the Bills figured out how to stop it. Xavier Worthy has evolved since then, and I have a feeling they're going to get him more involved into the offense here. So 50 yards, I think Xavier Worthy can clear. And just something to consider with Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards and the way that the Bills defend Patrick Mahomes specifically. Like, Sean McDermott has kind of made the decision, and it's really smart to his credit, that he's not going to let Mahomes beat him with his legs. So when you get into these obvious passing situations where Mahomes just death by a thousand paper cuts, and he does flop like a Brazilian soccer player. It's really lame. It is. And I love the Chiefs. Like, they're going to spy him. They're not going to let him, you know, third and 12, go for 13 yards. Matt Milano, we think profiles, great cookies also. Profiles is the Bills spy. And I want to know if that's true. And Matt Milano is spying Patrick Mahomes, or Travis Kelce is not running open over the middle of the field. So I would take a look. It's a really square bet at Travis Kelce over receiving yards also. And as far as what I said about the Commanders, so looking ahead to Super Bowl, right? Washington is just a variable that it's hard to account for, where if the Commanders win this game and they get to the Super Bowl, they are the hot team with the hot quarterback and have all the vibes. And that's a dangerous team to try and figure out what to do in a betting market, right? Whereas, like, if it's Chiefs-Eagles, Kansas City's going to be like a 1.5-point favorite. Does anyone, Perloff, does anyone think the Eagles are going to win that game?
No.
Like, anybody?
No.
And even if they do, and if they do, you tip the cap.
Maybe so, Saquon. Saquon goes nuts.
Yeah, okay.
It's the best we got.
I am hoping that the Super Bowl is Chiefs-Eagles, so I can have a sizable bet on Kansas City, and I feel like when I click the button, I just win.
Go Birds!
By the way, Jaden Daniels would tear apart that Bills defense.
Yeah, it just makes you a little nervous, right? Like, the Bills would be like a 4.5-point favorite in the game, but it would make you nervous where you have the upstart quarterback who hasn't been there against the perennial losers, which doesn't mean they can't win. I'm not even saying that derisively. It's a fact. Like, I would say the same thing if the Ravens got there. The perennial losers versus the upstart quarterback. Like, what do you do in that spot? Historically, it's been a really interesting game when that kind of plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I can't decide. I think you're with me. Would we laugh or cry for Maggie if the Bills beat Mahomes and then lost to Washington or
I'd cry.
Philadelphia?
I'd feel bad for her.
That's the worst case scenario. Is that the worst case scenario?
I get your pity.
Is the worst? Yeah, definitely the worst case scenario is to beat Mahomes. Well, you know, yes, that's worse.
To beat Mahomes and lose to Jaden Daniels. To lose to the first ever rookie making the Super Bowl and then losing to that quarterback.
It doesn't matter who you lose to in the Super Bowl, like five, and then you'd lose to Washington again. Well, and you'd lose to an NFC East team again. Because the NFC East is Buffalo's daddy.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
And Philly's the only one that hasn't gotten them in the Super Bowl. So maybe it should be the Eagles.
1990 all over again.
Just a clean sweep, all four teams. Thank you, Nick. I had not thought about it that way. And so now I can think about that.
Wow, Jaden Daniels.
Speaking of NFC, I think that's all the betting stuff, unless you have something else for us.
I mean, whatever you want. I'm here for whatever you guys
need. But is there another angle that I'm not thinking of? Is there another bet?
Is there another angle? I think we're good.
Okay.
Both sides of the game. I like the total in the Chiefs game. I think the Chiefs are going to win. Yeah.
Can I test my prop on Nick?
Yeah.
Noah Gray, over 1.5 receptions. You feeling me? That sounds good, right?
So I was going to say, like, what I think the thought process is, but I don't want to bail you out.
I feel like nine people are going to cover Kelce. Like, this is a Bills. They know Kelce. Everyone's on Kelce. Yeah. Just throw it to Noah Gray.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, Perloff says that Patrick Mahomes can't even really tell the difference between Noah Gray and Travis Kelce.
Well, it is funny.
I don't know about that.
We call that lumbering white tight end syndrome.
Nick, has there ever been a prop like the Travis Kelce over? I mean, even the Bills know Travis Kelce, and he's still going to find a way to get over this, right?
Well, I said it in the Super Bowl last year where I got asked by whenever I did media, you're like, 98% of the bets are on this, so is it going to hit? And I was like, yeah. Yes. Sometimes everybody just wins.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes everybody wins.
Yeah.
That does happen from time to time. It's okay.
You know, Nick, I'll have to, we're out of time, or else I'd have to lay my Cowboys theory on you another time.
I'm here.
Well, we got like 1 minute. Okay. 1 minute. Here's my theory on the Cowboys. Brian Schottenheimer, they're hiring his coach. I think that Brian Schottenheimer is being hired to be a patsy. And what is happening is that the Dallas Cowboys are actually going to execute a one-year tank to get Arch Manning. And Brian Schottenheimer will stand there, and he will take this, and he will get blamed or whatever, because they don't care about Brian Schottenheimer, and he's okay being used in this way. You got all their major guys, except for Michael Parsons, are going to be coming off of injury. You have you can say you're going to go all in. Who's ever seen evidence of that? And I think they need the quarterback of the future after Dak, Arch Manning. This work with Troy Aikman, they got him number one overall, set them up. I think this is a executed tank by Stephen Jones, who's pulling the strings.
Oh, I love that. Like the little, the piece at the end there, like the Grima Wormtongue at the end there to King Theoden. Nerdy Lord of the Rings reference.
Yeah, you nerdy, with that nerd is, a lot. Yeah, sure.
I'm a massive nerd. Dak's going to play, right? They're going to be good to get the number one pick.
He's over 30 coming off another major lower body injury, Nick.
Yeah, but like think about like Will Levis got the number one pick this year.
What's that?
So Will Levis got the number one pick this year. Like, Dak's way too good if he plays every game. Like, you need him to, like, you're handicapping injury now. Because if Dak's healthy, there's no way the Cowboys are getting the number one overall pick.
Dude, Dak Prescott was walking around in a walking boot when he was 100% healthy. There's no shot he's staying
healthy. So you are handicapping injury. You need injury. So you are almost saying that Stephen Jones is projecting injury for Dak Prescott.
I think Stephen Jones would cut the brakes on his car to get Arch Manning.
Okay, well, maybe. But we'll find out if this is like WCW and he gets hit with the Hummer or someone runs over Dak. Then we'll know.
Nick, thank you so much.
We never found out, by the way. We never found out who was driving the Hummer in WCW. Wishing everybody minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck. And everybody, cure your CDS before Sunday.
Yeah. Is there a clinic? They can clear that up for you. Penicillin.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Nick Kostos joins us every Friday. We got to take a quick break. We come back. Andrew Bogish has headlines. This coaching carousel just got really nuts. We'll get to.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That RIP ODB forever. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. A lot going on with the coaching carousel, and I feel like Bogues, all of it embarrassing. Embarrassing for the Jags. Last to know that their coaching search is being hamstrung because no one wants to work with their GM, even though everyone knew this. And then for the Dallas Cowboys, four interviews, two of which are your former offensive coordinators and your most recent offensive coordinator, and you just basically go with Brian Schottenheimer, and you just mailed in this whole thing.
Yeah, it's weird, too, because we all thought they'd go with Kellen Moore, right?
Yeah, or Dion, or who knows?
Wow, like, or just keep Mike McCarthy.
Just do a coaching search. A real coaching search, not whatever this farce was.
Dion would have been crazy. I mean, I understand that was a great talking point, but Dion would be weird. I mean, Brian Schottenheimer is a lot less weird than Dion.
I disagree.
Dion to coach an NFL team right now? That'd be out of control.
Okay, I don't know.
That'd be Dion radical.
I don't know if he'll be a good NFL coach.
But Schottenheimer's been floating around the NFL forever. That's my point. It's just like he's like, same, been there, done that. I mean, guy's been an offensive coordinator for years and years and years.
Isn't it funny that he never got a job, even though he's been an offensive coordinator with a super famous last name and we're living in the offensive era of football? It's kind of funny that he didn't get hired, right?
But Dion taking over an NFL team right now is quite a radical move because Dion's a very unusual hire.
I think it would have been totally outside the box and crazy, but I also think, and former GM Mark Domenech said this, that Dion would have never taken a job where he had to coach against Shador. It would have been hard to coach Shador, but he wouldn't ever want to coach against him.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, honestly, do you really think Dion's going to be an NFL coach? I think he's so well-suited to college. I think this makes perfect sense.
Bogues, what other headlines are going on today?
LeBron's an all-star for the 21st time, extending his all-time record. That announcement before a 117-96 home win over the Celtics. That appears to be an important win for L.A.
Does a game like this against the Celtics, against the champs?
Nope, they sure don't. I can tell your enthusiasm in your voice. And heard that question way too many times in my career. Absolutely not. It's one game. They hosted Larry O'Brien Trophy. We're trying to aspire to get there. We want to just continue to work our habits, work our game. So Yeah, absolutely does not.
Wow, way to sell the game. Awesome. I can't wait to tune in.
But people would be crushing him if on January 23rd he proclaimed anything after being the Celtics.
No, but how about, hey, all-time great rivalry. Anytime you're in a Laker uniform, you always want to beat the Celtics. Give me a little something. I mean, LeBron's done a good enough job selling the league. This isn't his job, but we have, how many rivalries do we even have left in sports that actually matter? This is a historic one. Lean in, dude.
But he's dismissing the idea that this proves anything about them for the rest of the season.
Right, that's why I kind of like it.
Yeah, that to me is the answer. And it was like lighthearted. It was fun. It wasn't like dismissive or demeaning the reporter. Like that basically should have been the answer. Like, this gives us nothing. We still kind of stink. LeBron did have 20, 14, and 6 in the win. Nikola Jokic, Kevin Durant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Stephen Curry also picked as West starters Giannis, Jason Curry. Tatum, and Donovan Mitchell in the East.
Would he by be way, Steph Curry if he was Steve Curry?
Also, by the way, Stephen Curry, not his name. Wardell.
Right.
Oh, we were talking about celebrities who have fake names.
But he didn't change it, right? It's Wardell Stephen Curry?
Yeah.
He just dropped the first name?
Yeah, he just doesn't go by his first name.
Yeah, so the opposite of Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise picked up the middle name as the last name, dropped the last name.
Also, Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar Duckworth.
Kendrick Duckworth, yeah.
A lot of people don't know what the E.J. Stewart is.
I do.
They will never know, except for Bogus.
I got a phone
Emilio.
Number.
Emilio.
No, E, we know. That's Elijah. J is the
question mark. Oh, right,
of
course. Yeah.
I'm
I do know your first name.
You're thinking of Emilio Estevez. Yeah.
I was thinking about Emilio Estevez. That's his real name. It's Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Who changed the last name.
And Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dad did it first.
A little more important.
Oh, are we out of time? How? So many more things to do, folks. We'll get you next hour with all the headlines.
Promises.
I know we're not good about keeping those.
EJ told me his middle name, and I totally forgot.
You knew?
Yeah, he told me. I asked him. That's all you have to do.
Wait, you've known this whole time? It's been this big secret, and you just forgot?
No, I was secret for a while. He told me. Just ask him. He'll tell you in the break. No, he won't.